Luke chapter 12. Bibles open at that chapter will be helpful as you will look up some of the references as we go through them. 3 weeks in a row we'll be looking at the topic of money, because that's what Luke does. He of course didn't take weeks to write it, but maybe longer or shorter. But the three passages we're looking at the next few weeks are all to do with money, and they all say a similar thing, but then a very different thing. They talk about how we are to view the wealth of this world and money, and they really do handle it from three perspectives, and I hope all three perspectives we can take on board as we live our lives here on earth. 2 weeks ago, Wednesday morning, I woke up at 4:55 a.m. Do you know why? The sound of the garbage trucks woke my wife, who leaned over to me and said, "Did you put the garbage out?" She knows when I haven't, you know. She just has this sixth sense. And I groaned. I crawled out of bed, got dressed. Optional at that time of the morning, because really, who's around? And I took the bins out. And you know what? I know why I took the bins out? Because there has been one time in my life that I have heard those garbage trucks and realised that I have not put the bins out and have elected not to get up. That was not a good week. A bin that is full for 2 weeks stinks. Especially when you've got one member of the family who's in nappies. It's true. No one wants 2 weeks of garbage overflowing in their backyard. It's unhealthy, it's unclean. Could you imagine never taking your garbage out? Imagine never taking it out. How long do you think you would last? Well, for me it was 2 weeks. That's about it. Money can be like that garbage. Most of the time, money is out of sight for us. It sits in our bank accounts, which go up or down, depending on how much or how little we spend. We pay for many things with a debit or a credit card. We make automatic payments for our bills, for our mortgage, for whatever comes our way. We don't have to handle cash that often. And so it's often out of sight, just like the garbage in our bin. But sometimes it starts to smell. Not to us, but to God. Sometimes money is stinking up our lives and we don't even notice. Like the man in this story from Luke 12. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem from the end of chapter 9 to die on the cross. And a man stops him and asks him to settle a dispute between him and his brother over the family will. As they say, where there's a will, there's a family argument. Jesus is not impressed by this guy. Verse 14, have a look at it. Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me as a judge and arbiter between you?" Then he said to the disciples, to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Watch out, Jesus says. Not try to do well with your money. Watch out. Because money stinks. Money, that smell can take over your life. It can take your life. Then Jesus tells a story, a parable of a rich man. This man has some land, a lot of land by the sounds of it, and one year it produces a huge crop. A really good crop. And he's a smart businessman. He says, "What shall I do with this massive crop? I know. I'll tear down my small barns and I'll build really big ones. And I'll be able to store all my produce in there, all the grain and everything I've just grown. And it will keep me for years to come. And I can sit back and enjoy my life, eat, drink and be merry." Now that sounds like a smart guy, doesn't it? I hate hearing these stories about people that win the lottery and they blow it all within 2 years. You know, $10 million, it's all gone. I don't know what happened. I just tipped everyone. It's a good story, isn't it? Here's a man that's come across this abundant wealth and he's saying, "I'm going to set myself up for the future. I'll never have to work again. I've got to manage it well, these resources. He seems very smart, but what does God call him? It's a very harsh word in the Greek language. Fool. Fool. Because you are going to die tonight and leave it all behind. Fool. It's pretty severe. What did this man do wrong? Have a look at verse 18. Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all of my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry." Just have a look at that verse on the screen. Still thinking, well, what's wrong with this guy? Okay, I want you to have a look at this verse again, just if we go forward two slides. Have a look, let me just highlight a few words. Oh, sorry, I'll take it back. Can we go forward another two? We'll go back two now. Then we'll jump to the left and jump to the right. There it is. Listen to that verse again. Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you..." I'm sorry, can we go back a couple more? We'll get there in the end. Two more. There. Two more. Almost there, guys. Hang on. There we go. Is that the one I want? Have we got that verse 18 up there? Sorry, the verse is not there. Okay. Listen very carefully. I'm relying on your ears now. Hang in there. Then he said, listen to what the man said. "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all of my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry." Who is this man thinking about? Himself. And no one else enters his mind. This is my stuff. I'm going to enjoy it. It's all mine. All he's interested in is indulging himself. He has this huge crop. What could you do if you had a huge crop? What could you do with $10 million? Well, you could set yourself up for the rest of your life. You could. This week I received a prayer letter from a friend who's a missionary in Nairobi. And he writes this. He said, "I heard a story of a minister who drove an old BMW. During the service, he got up the front and complained about his car and how terrible it was that he and his wife had to drive such a crummy car and be seen in it. He then had the doors to the church locked and refused to let them leave until they gave him the money for a new Mercedes." Friends, I want two Mercedes. Lock the doors! It is so easy to cast judgment on that man. It is so easy for each of us to slip into that human selfish desire to only think about ourselves, our own needs, what we want. It's very easy. The man in Jesus' story received a huge harvest, and all he did was think about looking after himself. What does Jesus say will happen to people like this? Verses 20 to 21. Listen very carefully to this. God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" Listen to this. "This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God." Anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God will lose it all. Jesus makes no exceptions He says, anyone who has this attitude will be in the same boat as this man. So how are we to act with our riches? How are we to be? What does it mean to be rich towards God? Have a look at verse 22. Jesus says to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Now that's always been a comforting verse for me as I read those things. Do not worry. It's always put in at funerals or at services where we just want to cast our cares aside and depend upon God, because God is wonderful and always look after us. Jesus is not saying this as a platitude. It's not some nice feeling we can walk away with. He's saying it in the middle of a passage where he is condemning a man and rebuking his disciples and warning us. This passage is a rebuke and a warning. When Jesus is saying, do not worry, he's saying, do not be self-centered. What's he saying, do not worry about? I think I've got this on the next slide. Do not worry about your life, what you will wear. Do not worry. Do not be self-centered. Stop worrying about yourself. You of little faith. That's harsh, isn't it? But that's exactly what it is. We worry about ourselves, our food, our clothes. God says to us, you have little faith in me. Be rebuked by this and watch out, because money is taking over your life. If you're starting to worry, then you've got to turn that around. You need to put your faith back in me and not in what you own. Being rich towards God means not worrying about your possessions. It means not being self-centered. Life is more than food and clothes. You can think about the birds and the flowers. God looks after them. Of course he's going to look after you. So who are we not to trust God? Who are we to worry about our own lives? We of little faith. Watch out, Jesus says, that the world's riches don't stink up your life like garbage. Watch out that your focus is on the kingdom of God and not the kingdom of the world. Then he goes on to say in verse 48, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Hard words to escape. Think about that. It means that what you have does not belong to you. It's been entrusted to you, it's been given to you by God, and God will hold you accountable for the way you use what he has given you. Jesus, our master, will return one day. In verse 40 it says, when you do not expect him, are you ready for his return? Are you ready when he returns unannounced, when he comes and sees all that he's given you, are you ready to give an answer for the way that you've used all that he's given you? Are you ready for him to hold you accountable for the way you, in this rich country, have used your resources for the kingdom of God? Are you ready to answer for how you've used it, how you've treated others with it, how you've indulged yourself with it? We will all be held accountable for what we have been given and how we've used it. And I'm not a preacher pointing the finger. I'm a preacher taking this rebuke and this warning very seriously from my Lord. It means I need to step back and think seriously about where my faith is at when it comes to my money. You know, from the age of about 14, I used to get pocket money every week. More when my brother didn't do his chores, I did them and took his as well. And, you know, dishes, mowing lawns, all that sort of stuff. But my parents gave me the money. They didn't tell me what I could spend it on. Sure, if I was going to say, I'm just ducking down to the bottle shop to get a bottle of scotch, they'd probably stop me. But generally, they didn't care what I spent my money on. They were happy it wasn't drugs or anything like that. But the same applies now. You know, I get paid for my job. You don't ask, you don't make me, you don't hold a gun to my head saying, you have to spend your money on this, Bruce. No one tells me how much I have to give. No one tells me how much I have to help people. No one tells me what clothes to buy. I decide, because the world doesn't hold you accountable for the way you spend your money. The world doesn't look at your bank account and say, excuse me, but the world says that you're not spending your money correctly. The world doesn't do that. That's why there's so many people living in poverty, if you haven't noticed. The world doesn't hold us accountable for what we do with our riches.
But God does. God does. And we must take that seriously. You might have heard about the woman who rang her husband while she was on holiday. She went on a world trip. And just as she was leaving, she was at the airport and she rang her husband and she said, "Look, I was just wondering, how's the cat doing?" And he said, "The cat's dead." And she said, "Oh, thanks, you've just ruined my trip. You know, you could have broken the news to me gently." He said, "Oh, look, I'm sorry, but the cat's dead. What do you want me to say?" She said, "Well, you could have said, look, the cat's on the roof. And then when I got to Paris, you could have said, oh, the cat's on the roof, but he's looking a bit sick. And when I got to London, you could have said, look, I've taken the cat to the vet. And when I got to New York, you could have said, oh, the cat's just taken a turn for the worse. It's not looking good. And then when I got home, you could have said, I'm sorry, the cat's passed away. Then that would have been nice. I would have enjoyed my trip, and it would have been so just devastating." Yes. And the husband said, "Look, I'm really sorry. I'll remember that next time. I've been insensitive. I'm really sorry. I'll remember that." And his wife's about to catch a plane. She says, "Oh, by the way, how's Mum going?" He said, "Well, she's on the roof." You can't always break the news gently. No matter what Jesus says here, we can't hear it in a gentle way. Jesus says when it comes to money, there is no easy way to say it. Money is something that when we fall in love with it, it stinks up our life like garbage. I wonder if you ever thought of that. Money is garbage. Money buys garbage. Money stinks like garbage when it's our love. Jesus simply says, if we are not rich towards God, then all we've been given, we will face God to answer for it. Now, as Australian Christians, we have many riches. And to those who have been given much, much will be demanded. You know, a friend of mine told me that at his church, most young couples, it's no reflection on anyone, I know you know that, but I was just appalled at this story. He said most young couples in their church in Sydney didn't give at all to church. And he was astounded by this. He said, "Why on earth do they not give anything?" He said, "Well, we're all paying off our mortgage." That's what they say. Look, all these other people at church, they've all owned their houses. They're not paying off their mortgage anymore. They'll be able to support the church until we've paid off our house. And when we've done that, then we'll be able to give to the church work. What does God say to those people? "You fool. This night your life will be demanded from you, and what good is your house then? Where your treasure is, there is your heart." There's nothing wrong with buying things for ourselves. Nothing wrong with buying property or cars. Nothing wrong with those things. But when we only seek to satisfy ourselves, when we do that at the expense of being rich towards God, then we have a serious problem. Watch out, says Jesus. You are storing up things that will stink up your life. If we're going to follow Jesus, these last chapters of Luke are all about following Jesus to the cross. If we are going to follow Jesus, we need to take out the garbage. We need to let Jesus into our life to change us by his Spirit, to change our attitude towards these things. Because Jesus is the garbage man. He comes at an unexpected hour. Have you put your garbage out? Are you ready for his arrival? He takes our filth. He takes our selfishness. He takes our love for money, our love for this world. He takes our self-centered nature and he nails it to the cross and says, "It's gone. I've dealt with that sin. Go and serve me now." Crucify the sinful nature, is the way Paul puts it. Crucify our selfishness. Crucify our desire to worry about ourselves. This is a strong rebuke. Seeking to live for God and his kingdom means sacrificing, crucifying those things, and let Jesus take out the garbage. Jesus will return. We don't know when. He'll demand an account for what he's given us. Are we ready to give an answer? Are you ready? Can we say that we've been rich towards God? Is our selfishness nailed to the cross? Or is it stinking up our life like garbage? From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked.